Welcome to Equity Gurus, A Closer Look, where you, the investor, get to listen as Chris Perry grills the best and the brightest in the corporate sector to help you find out who's the wheat and who's the chaff. Listen in.
The opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily shared by people who are wrong.
Today, Chris speaks with Ralph Shearing, President and Corporate Secretary of Telson Resources, to get an inside look at the company, its Mexican assets, and what investors can expect over the next 12 months. Listen in.
Tell me everything there is to know.
Well, that could take a while, but basically got a very large epithermal system that we've been exploring for a number of years, and we've developed a resource and a reserve, and we're pushing ahead with mine development right now and just putting together our final mine build funding, I guess. Basically, the project's in northwestern Durango, Mexico. It's about a 7,400-hectare project. It's really the bulk of a mineralized district called Tahuehuetl, and we control probably 85% of the prospective ground within that district.
Okay.
The main internal concessions are about 2,000 hectares, and that's really where we've been concentrating our exploration work and development. And with the past years, we've drilled about 48,000 meters of primary diamond drilling.
Mm-hmm.
Came up with the reserve. We did a PEA in 2010. Snowden Mining Consultants prepared that for us. And envisioned an open pit, combined open pit underground mine with bulk tonnage underground mining methods using long hole open stoping. That's because the veins themselves are probably 3 to 4 meters wide, average width.
Mm-hmm.
Capital costs in that PEA were about $90 million, and then when we did some more work, it brought it up to more like $130 million to bring power in to support that size of a mine. Came 2009, 10, 11, 12, 13, very poor, kind of brutal years for us. We did a little bit of work in 2010, 11, and then the company almost went under in late 2014, early 2015. When mid-2015, a group of Mexican exploration guys, development people, were looking for a new project, recognized the markets are coming back, and then they came in, we negotiated a deal. They put in $2.5 million of two private placements, took control of the company and control of the board of directors, and since that point in time, we've been actually moving the project ahead really well.
Okay.
So they did an internal pre-feasibility study, and then it came back quite good, so we shipped that out to the engineers to do a 43-101 compliant pre-feas. It was based on a 550 ton a day mining up underground high grade mining operation, and numbers came back really good on that. We released that information at the beginning of the year, and then we did an internal study to show what it would look like at 1,000 tons per day. The engineers did it to pre-feasibility study level, but we haven't published that yet because to go back and publish it is going to cost us another $200,000 to bring the report up to 43-101 standards. However, the numbers obviously came in a lot better. It's about a 12-year mine life. At 1,000 tons per day, we'd be producing roughly 35,000 ounces of gold on a yearly basis. And then we have base metals on top of that, which could double the value on a yearly basis at 1,000 tons per day.
Got it. So you're one of the few current gold projects raising money that is actually raising money to go to production rather than just dig holes in the ground.
Yeah, exactly. And we're not doing any exploration at the moment because we're really concentrating on getting the mine built and then starting to do more exploration off cash flow.
Okay. So you're looking back at your chart back in 2015, you said you were having some rough times. We're looking at about a cent a share back then compared to you've been as high as 50 cents last year. You're 28.5 now, which sort of says that there's still a little bit of value in there.
Absolutely.
The market's obviously the market's obviously coming back pretty strongly, but that's not just market rising. That's definitely you guys are progressing this thing to a point where clearly people are starting to take an active interest.
That's absolutely correct. We were fortunate enough that our major shareholder from Mexico gave us a line of credit to not have to stop the development of the project. It was a 150 million peso line of credit, which was $7.5 million US, more or less. And with that money, we've been moving forward. We've collected an industrial scale bulk sample, 3,500 tons. We processed that. We sold all the concentrate just to show that we could actually produce and sell concentrates.
Mm-hmm.
We trucked the ore about 270 kilometers from the mine into a toll mill, and we revenue from that endeavor got us about $1.5 million US, and we made about $400,000 or $500,000 on it. So even trucking it 270 kilometers was still very profitable for us.
Sure. So where does that leave you right now? Like, where are you in the process of raising the money that you need to get this thing moved forward?
Well, we're fairly far along. We've actually reduced the capital cost because we've purchased a mill, a sulfide flotation mill for capable of about 1,000 tons per day.
Okay.
So we paid $1.3 million for that, and we need maybe another $1 million worth of equipment to complete that off. So that's been transported to a staging area near the project where we're going over it.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the mine bill funding, we are in advanced stages right now of discussions or negotiations with offtake funders. And so we've got a fairly advanced discussions with three of those groups now. We expect to be making a decision and getting some kind of agreement signed up with these off-takers over the next 2 to 3 weeks.
So that would
provide us with the bulk of the funding to build the mine.
On your current market cap, which, you know, I'm looking at when your PowerPoint was made, it was 31. If I'm looking at Google financial numbers here, stand 24. So this is still a pretty underbought deal, considering how quickly you're moving forward to something fairly significant.
Well, just even based on the pre-feasibility study at 550 tons a day, you know, we're trading probably a third of what the value in that pre-feasibility study is.
Mm-hmm.
So even 1,000 tons per day, it's that much better. So yes, we're undervalued, as a lot of juniors are. However, we're, you know, extremely close to being in production. We believe we can be in production probably the first quarter of next year or earlier if we complete our funding here very quickly.
Where do you need gold to be profitable on this particular project?
Well, quite a bit less. Our cost of production is about $500 per gold equivalent ounce.
So you're in the money pretty much.
Good.
Whatever happens, yeah.
Sure.
Especially if President Trump drops a few bombs on the wrong people and the world goes haywire, that doesn't hurt you at all, does it?
Well, we certainly hope he doesn't do that, because it would certainly make the mine more profitable. I mean,
yeah.
Our project is 65-70% of the value is gold in the project.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fairly high-grade situation.
So then now that you've got a mill, are there other plays in the area that you could be drawing money from as a result of that, or are you going to keep that mill all to yourself?
The mill will be all ourselves. There's really no one else that would be close to us with any projects that would feed that mill.
Okay.
And our project alone has, you know, very large exploration potential, so we can expand the resources and reserves going forward very, very easily. I really believe this project will grow into a 2,000 or 3,000 ton a day underground mine over the next several years.
Tell me about doing business in Mexico. A lot of people, I guess investors in the retail side, you know, they stick to their knitting a lot of the time, and Mexico might be an area that they're not really familiar with in terms of resources. How do you find it?
Well, I've worked down there a long time, and there's a lot of Canadian junior and more senior mid-tier producers that have been working in Mexico very successfully. So we have found it a very good country. I've been down there. Just really started looking around 1995 and found this project in 1997, exploring it when the money's available and sitting on our hands when it's not. But it's an easy place to work as long as you have good connections and have some experience working down there.
So that's a lot of years of experience down there, 1995. It's a lot of years of sitting on your hands and a lot of years of not.
Well, it's the typical thing for a junior. When the markets are good, you can raise money and push your project forward. When times are tough and there's no money to be raised, you're sitting around hoping for better markets. And
yeah.
It's really been our story. Out of the close to 20 years that we've had the project, I bet you we've really worked it for 7 years if you combined all the total time of working it. So,
sure.
It's a function of the capital.
Must be happy times when you see gold interest coming back and some M&A activity happening. And people financing bigger projects after all that waiting. Like, I'm guessing there were times there where you wondered if it was ever going to happen again.
Yeah, it was. There's been some tough times, particularly the last up till mid 2015. There's 4 or 5 years that were very, very difficult. So It's been satisfying. I've got a really good Mexican partners who are hands on and are able to push the project forward. We've brought it a long way in the last year, and it's very satisfying to see it moving towards production for me.
So a lot of resource companies, especially in the venture space, you know, there's always the legitimacy question of, you know, companies come and go, CEOs come and go, you know, there's always, this is going to be the biggest play ever. But very few companies have that sort of long tail of developing a project for that length of time, getting it, you know, slowly moving forward one step at a time, and showing over the years that, you know, you're sticking around. You're not just here to play this thing for 4 months like some. Do you think that the market sometimes forgets the value of a company that, you know, knows its property well enough that it's been around for 10, 15 years?
Yeah, I think there's definitely that is in play right now. The company is, or the project and the company has been around, as you say, a long time, and is well known, and it's had very good days and it's had tough days. So it gets a bit of a reputation from the people in the industry. At the end of the day, I've recognized the value of this project when I first set foot on it and knew that it could develop into a mine, and I know how hard it is to find and build a mine, and that's really the reason that I stuck with it and been able to get some good partners recently to realize that vision and help push it forward.
This podcast is sponsored by Invictus MD Strategies, the first Canadian marijuana-related company to pay a dividend to investors. With a business concept that invests in, streamlines, and grows cannabis service companies, Invictus has shown extraordinary growth and a solid return on investment. For more, see ticker symbol IMH.C.
You're listening to the Equity.Guru podcast with your host, Chris Perry.
Yeah, it's always interesting to me that mining is one of the few industries where when somebody's actually, you know, stuck to their guns and moved the company forward over a lot of years, people, rather than seeing that as being evidence of a company being built, see that as, oh, it's taking you so long, like you've had so many ups and downs, what's wrong with you? Like, you know, if you were building a law practice, you'd have up years and down years, but no one would look at you and go, well, hang on, what about 2008, what happened there? You know, you've got a legitimate play that's legitimately in play as compared to guys that stick a little tape around a cow paddock and say it's a prospect.
Yeah, Chris, it's very true. I mean, I've run into that, and certainly other people have stuck with projects a long time and run into it as well. But at the end of the day, it's going to be worth it, and it'll be worth it for our shareholders. It's a great project, and it's got a lot larger potential than, you know, a 550 or 1,000 ton per day project. So, and, you know, we just continue to push it forward and try to realize its ultimate potential.
Is there ever a thought to, you know, hey, if we change the name of this thing and, you know, just treat it like a brand new play, that maybe the market just jumps on all over it? Or, you know, do you see it the other way?
There's times where we've been forced to change. Just in this last, downturn pre-2015, we had to restructure the company. We rebranded it. So it used to be called under a different name, and now we call it Intelsen Resources. So that's certainly happened. But at the end of the day, people will realize and do realize it's the same project and, you know, same company, but restructured company and primarily new shareholders. Like the major shareholders are totally different than they were before.
What are the risks to Intelsen right now, if any?
Well, the biggest risk, I guess, would be, say, getting our capital, but we're extremely confident we'll get the capital to build. And then the risks on top of that are market risks. Will the gold perform? Will the economies do well enough to keep the mining in flavor? It certainly appears that way. I think everybody in the industry sees a slow, steady uptick in the industry, and there's been a lot of interest over the last while. A lot more companies are being funded. So I think that is getting momentum for the juniors and the mid-tier groups, as well as the seniors. Everybody is appreciating the value, and people recognize that there are good times ahead.
You had a good run share-wise in late 2016, but despite some good press releases, you know, the acquisition of the processing plant and dropping in the 43-101, this year so far has been pretty flat, by and large.
Yeah, I mean,
do you think there's a churn there of old school and new school?
No, I think several things going on. Last year when we had our spike up to about 50 cents, there was the gold price was moving up fairly rapidly. Mm-hmm. We attended a conference, the Sprott Symposium in Vancouver, not as a company displaying there, but just walking around visiting people. And we got a little bit of traction with a couple of groups that would put us on a podcast, more or less. And we got some fairly good interest. So we traded fairly quickly up to the 50 cent level. Since that time, gold came off. The juniors came off, and it wasn't quite as a crazy time with people jumping in. And that was the first real uptick in the juniors. So juniors have been so beat up over the last years that they went down 90% in some cases.
Yeah, sure.
And that brought them up to 20% or 30%. So there's still a lot of room for these juniors to go up. That was the initial phase of it. And when gold came off, we were all sitting in a bit with a lack of liquidity. And I think that's one of our main problems is the company is really well held with probably management and insiders control 40-some-odd percent of this company. And if you added about half a dozen big shareholders, we've got 70% of the stock in fairly good hands. So it's hard for anyone to get a large position in the stock when it doesn't trade very much. And then if once they get a position, how do they get out if they don't see that liquidity? So I think that's some of the reason you don't see a lot of trading in our stock at the moment.
Do you think that the average investor in Canada is maybe getting a little bit younger? It used to be traditionally, it was easy to get investors in Canada into resources because it's what they always lived. But now you've got, the weed companies going up by X factor. You've got tech companies. You've got energy metals. Is the market a little bit more competitive now for investor attention?
I'm not sure that that's the case myself. I mean, I think I've been in this business 35 years, and you see the ups and downs. And I think there's a couple of things going on. One is just momentum. Investors play momentum. When a particular industry is in favor, they're in there and they're supporting it. And when they're not, when an industry falls out of favor, they're jumping into a new industry. The other one is there is a bit of a demographic change in the investor. Like the average young person these days isn't really invested in the markets very much. There's not as much capital around for them to do that. In my opinion, when they're fresh out of university trying to get jobs, there's none of those people are really playing the market like they were in the past. And that could be a function of being, money disappearing through the big recession in 2009 and this different outlook on how things work.
Sure.
But I think once, momentum is starting to come back, and if it continues and gains more momentum, you'll see much more liquidity in the industry.
Certainly we've seen in those other sectors, the weed sector and the energy metal sector, the market tends to chase the market. What do you think, taking away from the sectors and more into your own company, like what do you think that the market is waiting for from you to really bring it back to where the value should be?
To show that we're funded. I think that we've been doing all the right things. We've been moving the project forward properly. Actually are developing right now on the project, but we don't have at this moment the money to actually build the mine. And so show us you can do that. And then like any little juniors, there's a phase where a lot of activity is when the exploration play is in and you're discovering. And then when you go into mine build, there's a bit of a cooling off period and people want to see the mine built and start to produce cash.
You're churning from one kind of investor to the next kind of investor at that point.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that as soon as we get our funding in place, that our stock price will reflect that and show some better value.
Sure. You certainly at least the volatility is there that hasn't been there for a few years previously. I would expect that are you now in a phase where, you would expect that there's going to be regular news in the next 3 to 6 months that you'll see, the person who's holding your stock will be justified in giving it another 3 to 6 months rather than, jumping out and maybe expecting they can jump back in for the same price in a couple of months?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you'll see. Well, I mean, our plans are to get this thing into production, so we're going to have continuous news over the next little while. We're taking more bulk samples. We're going to be building, acquiring equipment, doing leasing agreements with the Caterpillar, some equipment suppliers. So we'll have a steady flow of news release, and for people who are playing the market and just jumping in and out, there's an opportunity there. But for someone who really wants to get involved with a junior company that's going to be producing in not very long and realize the value off that, there's a great opportunity. I mean, if you go back a number of years and look at groups like Great Panther and Brad Cook's Never Silver, when they first started into production, and look where they are now. I mean, that's the type of things that's available for shareholders in our stock to get involved in a company that is producing. The other thing that I believe we have going for us is that we have a very, as I mentioned, the new Mexican group that's involved and is in management are extremely well connected in Mexico, and we have plans to bring new projects into the company as we move forward to build the company up as a, you know, a mid-tier company, mid-tier producer, and who knows what that can bring down the road. Potential bigger guys take you out, you know, at the end of the day, who knows. We will be in production early next year, and the good things should fall out of that.
Would you say that people who've been watching you for the last year, that when you say you're going to get to a milestone, that you've hit those milestones?
Well, I would certainly hope that they would recognize that. I mean, we have been hitting our milestones fairly consistently since over the last year. Maybe we're a month late on the PFS or things like that, but everything we said we've been going to do, we have done and more. Mm-hmm. So we're delivering. The Mexican group are extremely good at getting things done in Mexico. They're really a bit of a godsend for me, because before their involvement, we were trying to do it all ourselves, and it's difficult when you're trying to run all of that with the Canadian group and hiring local Mexicans. These guys are hands-on. They're vested in the company. They own a big interest in the company, so they have good reason to make it work, and it's been helpful. Mm-hmm.
So as you get closer to production, I would say that it wouldn't be beyond the realms of possibility that there'll be a little bit of interest in from other companies that look at you as being undervalued and a good acquisition target.
Well, yes, quite possibly. I mean, the project itself has got lots of potential, not just in the mine we are building. It's a district scale type of a thing, so there could be several other mines out there waiting to be discovered. However we decide to approach that, maybe we'll bring other companies in to help us explore that. Maybe we'll explore it ourselves. But for a larger company that wants to take on a producing project and have the ability to grow into one or many projects, a much larger project or many projects within a district, we would be a very good candidate for that.
Is the temptation there, you know, with you know, your experience in Mexico with your infrastructure there now, to go chasing you know, other early stage projects? This is a means of keeping investors sort of interested and on their toes, or are you really just going to just stick it to the one thing, make sure you knock that out of the park, and keep it simple?
Well, the mandate from Antonio Berlanger, CEO, and their group is to go after advanced projects. He's not a real guy that likes to get involved in greenfield type projects. He wants to get his hands on projects that are advanced. You know, maybe their mines have been shut down, could be reactivated. Maybe their mines that were in production once, and groups decided to try and expand them and were producing too much and diluting ore. His approach is get in there, mine them high grade, and you know, just do a new mining plan and make them profitable. So those are the types of things he likes to concentrate on and try to find. And that's the type of target we'll be going after. Certainly the exploration or the greenfield style of exploration is available on our Tahuahuetl project. Mm-hmm. And we will likely be working on that to try to bring new zones in, you know, to advance them to a stage where they can either feed product or feed tonnages into our mill, or could be a standalone project within the district.
Certainly when you're producing ounces, it becomes a lot easier to finance that added exploration. Well, I'm glad we talked. You know, I think this is the gold space is a space that my readers you know, aren't traditionally attuned to, because I have a much younger audience. They're very, you know, weird in tech, and as I said. But what we're trying to do is to teach them what a mining project is and how it works, and what are the stages, and, you know, take it back to sort of very sort of mining 101, because I think there's a lot of assumed knowledge in the mining world. You know, when companies put out the news, they put out news in a way that people who invest in mining projects understand, but people who don't just kind of roll their eyes and move on. So we really brought them in through Energy Metals last year, and now that they're not scared of mining, it's been interesting to watch gold companies suddenly start hit our phones and say, you know, we want to get access to these younger investors because they're not buying mortgages at the current real estate prices, and they're spending their money on online poker. So we might as well get them in here and show them what investing is about. So
that's commendable. I commend you for that, because there is a lack of a lack of knowledge in our industry, and what the younger generation, I'm not sure, realizes how much metals are used in everyday life. So
yeah, well, that's why we started with the energy metals, because really it's like, look, this makes your cell phone go. You should probably know what it is and know how it works. And the adoption of that knowledge has been really vast, really quick. So we're actually now starting to realize that women are also a very under-tapped resource, and 42% of our readers are women, we found out, which is amazing. And I think it comes down to that attitude of, like, let's take it back to brass tacks and explain what, you know, a PEA is and what a 43-101 is. And so I think what you're doing here is it makes it easier for us, because a lot of the companies that are, you know, that call us up and say, hey, we'd like to do a program, they're very early stage, so they're very high in the sky a lot of the time. You know, they may amount to something, they may not, but you've got ounces in the ground and people treading over that ground on a regular basis. It's a very different sort of setup.
And we've done it all. We've gone from exploration rate through drilling phase to resource development into reserve calculations, and now we're actually underground development mining. So there's a lot of knowledge gained over that period of time.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. It's funny how rare it is as well. I mean, we have so many projects that have been sitting fallow for so long that when gold suddenly starts coming back, it's either, you know, the majors or the explorers, and people sort of forget that middle ground of the about to become mid majors.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree.
You've been listening to Equity Gurus, A Closer Look. See you next time.
Thanks for listening. For disclosure statements and more info, please visit www.equity.guru.